I'd like to speak to you this morning on the power of praise. The power of praise. This is a Doctrine of God and Doctrine of Satan series, number 3. Let's stand and ask God's blessing upon the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, right now, to make thy word precious to our hearts. Now, I'm going to stop my prayer for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something. Some time ago, I had a knee problem. I was having terrible pain in my knee, and my right knee. I took my left knee too once upon a time. And the Lord healed me of it. And I was sitting at work, and I was testifying of it to somebody. It hadn't hurt me for months. And as I was testifying of it, terrible pain came into that knee. And it hurt me so bad, I kind of put both hands on it and just squeezed it on the table. And I said in my heart, I said, oh, no, you don't, Satan. I know what you're trying to pull. I said, for that, I'm going to give him all the testimonies of all the healing I can. And I just started pouring on the testimonies. And after a short time, the pain went away. And last night, after Friday night, after I testified about this, I began to have problem again. And I just, again, saying the same thing, and I'm fine. Right now, my throat is getting so sore. And I just refuse it. And I'm just going to ask you to pray along with me. I'm not going to worry about it at all. I'm going to just refuse it and go on the way. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I claim divine health and healing. In Jesus' name, heal this throat. I refuse any cold. I refuse any virus. I refuse any sickness. I claim the power of Jesus' name. I claim complete deliverance and healing in Jesus' name and help in the name of my Savior, my Lord. Right now, Lord, I pray that you will help me physically in body and in spirit. In the name of Jesus, complete deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing and anointing upon thy word this morning. May thy word go forth with unction and with clarity and with power. In the name of Jesus, bring thy word, O God, to thy servant this morning, that it might go forth to thy servants. O God, that we might know thy doctrines, and thy doctrines might set us free. We might walk in the truth of thy word, saying it stands written. In the name of Jesus, heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away. Thy words are truth. And, O Lord, we claim thy truth for our minds and our hearts. Right now we pray, Lord, that your truth might sink into our hearts like an arrow. It might lodge in our hearts. It might be there, O God, as our constant companion, as our visitor, as the tenant of our heart. In the name of Jesus, establish us in thy truth. Help our minds and hearts to accept it, and may we walk in the truth. In the name of Jesus, bring home, O God, this message this morning, with unction, with power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Yalamaniyo, Soyalamo, Kiyalamaniya, Kiyalamana. Oh, Kayalamania, Salamania, Ikonayamo Chilia, Munio, Oyalamanialiana, Ikoyolo, Asalamaniaka. In the name of Jesus, we claim power and victory. Hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Miss Salamania, Salamania, Salamani, Salamaniaka. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I received the message of that interpretation from my own heart. The doctrine of God and the doctrine of Satan, seen, contrasted, But here I especially want to speak upon the doctrine of God, the power of praise. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's what I call the doctrine of God. That's what I call positive preaching. Here, this psalm accepts God as our creator and therefore accepts and makes him responsible for us. Lord, thou art our creator. It is you that have made us. We are not an accident in space. If evolution is true and we are an accident in space, then we don't have anyone to turn to as the one who has made us and who loves us, who will care for us. But any designer will always care for his design. Any person who makes something will take care of that which is made for himself. And if God has created us, if we are the product of his hands, then he loves us, he's made us for himself, and he will take care of us. That's the first doctrine of God. The doctrine of Satan has come in and take away the truth that God has made us, because if we're an accident we're out here by chance, then we've got no one to lean upon and no one to care for our soul. I don't like that doctrine. It's false. I find that he loves us and he takes care of us, and we can prove it by the experiential relationship we have with him day by day. Let me tell you, if you have an intellectual religion, you haven't yet got the religion of God. If you're only walking by that which you have in your mind, if it's not in your heart, Christianity is of the heart. It's a love life with Jesus Christ. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. It'll change people's lives, change your heart, change your way of living, the way of expressing yourself, it'll change your motives, your desires, it'll change everything. When you fall in love with somebody, you're changed. I tell you, when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you're changed. It's a love life. It's an experience. It's a relationship. It's a sharing. Unless you've got the power of God in your life, unless you've got been filled with his presence and you know him and he's abiding in your heart and soul, you've just got a dead letter. Dr. James Brown of the Presbyterian Church has the largest Presbyterian church, the oldest Presbyterian church in America, near Upper Octoria, near Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia, said this: I had enough theology to get a doctor's degree in theology in the Presbyterian Church, but I never really knew Jesus. He said, I could talk about him. I could teach about the historical Christ, but I never really knew him as the ever-present help in the time of trouble. I never knew him as my personal Lord and Savior and Master, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I never knew him as one I could talk to as a friend, as close with a brother, one I could commune with, one who would shed light on my path and give me power and release me of my sins and give me assurance. And if you have not had that experience this morning, you don't really have Christianity, let me tell you. But this psalm accepts him as our creator, and he's responsible for us. It accepts God as loving us, as desiring us, as watching over us. There's no reason for any fear or any discouragement if God is our shepherd. If he is our shepherd and he's truly leading us and he knows all things and he has power, then there is no room for the doctrine of Satan in our hearts. There is no room for any discouragement or any fear. And the recognition that he is our creator and his eyes are upon the righteous and that we are his children, his peculiar treasure, and that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep and his sheep hear his voice and follow him, that recognition will lead you to joy. And that joy will make you to praise God, and that's the doctrine of Satan. And when you're praising God, you can't be unhappy because there's a praise in your heart. Do you know what praise does? Praise lifts your eyes from the problem to the problem solver. Because you see, you look out first of all and you see a problem, and it instantly brings fear, discouragement to your heart, because you know that you are not capable of meeting that problem, or if you are, you know it's going to be a tough, rough battle and you don't want to go through it. And so first you see the problem, and when you see the problem, it immediately brings discouragement or fear or despair to the human heart. And as soon as you bring discouragement and fear comes in, then it is denying God's part in the matter, and Satan has an open door because you are now beginning to preach his doctrine, and he'll come and he'll feed you with that same thing. And he'll bring you to a state of fear and bring you to the sloughs of despair. But when you see a problem in front of you and you raise your eyes to heaven and start praising God, you are now getting your mind and heart off of the problem to the problem solver, and you're beginning to magnify him because he is perfect, he is wonderful, he's got all strength, he has all knowledge, he loves us, he's engraved us in the palms of his hands, he will never leave us nor forsake us even to the end of the age. We are his children, he's the all-seeing of the eye, he loves us, and he'll take care of us. And when we begin to look at him, we look at something that's perfect, something that is wonderful. And when we turn our eyes upon him and begin seeing how great he is and how marvelous he is, then that hope begins to build within us, because he is great, he can do all things, he loves us, he will do all things, therefore the problem will be solved, and all of a sudden you've got faith in action. Praise is faith in action. All of a sudden you find out that you are not having any despair, you have victory. Praise will bring joy, because praise knows that praise sees God as he is in relation to man, that he will take care of us, and if he's going to take care of us, there's no reason to doubt. And if you know it, that that problem you hate to face is going to be met, then there's only praise and joy in your heart. So praise lifts your eyes from the problem to the problem solver. Faith pleases God because it shows confidence in God. Do you know God hates to be belittled? He hates to be belittled. We belittle God when we preach Satan's doctrine of problems and fears, because we are saying our God is not big enough or great enough to solve our problems. I've got a problem bigger than God. God can't possibly solve my problem. Or if he can, he is not interested in me. Even though I've confessed my sins to him and I love him and I'm trying to follow him, and he's made me his child, he won't help his own child. He's a mean heavenly father. He won't take care of his children. He promises great things, and then he will not give what he says. He'll just kick you. He's mean. He doesn't love you. He will not take care of you. That's what it's saying. Now, you don't mean to say that, of course. You'd reel from the suggestion that that would be in your heart and mind. But, you know, that really is what we say when we begin to preach fear. Because God says, I'll go with you through your problems, I'll take care of you, I'll release you, I'll give you power. And we say, there's no hope, it's too great, it's too big of a problem, we can't do it. Scripture says, to say I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. He says, how do you know you can't do it? Who made you? Can't I speak through you? You mean to tell me that I can't give you wisdom and power? You mean I can't give you knowledge? You mean I can't give you revelation? You mean that my power, my word through you cannot accomplish it? Are you trying to tell me that I can't do it? Are you trying to belittle me? Oh, you son of man, you worm of the flesh, you creation, how do you know what I can do? Are you prepared to say God can't go any further than that? God can't do it? You see, that's what we do. When we limit God, we are so full of the doctrine of Satan, he's having a field day with us. We've got to get out of it. It's high time! That we quit preaching the doctrine of Satan to ourselves and start preaching the doctrine of God. It's one of the things I feel, that God wants us to take by the horn and to make an immediate transition to. And I think this is the reason he's putting this message on my heart, is at this point of time, God says, all right, I've been teaching you things, I've been leading you, you've been going up, but now you've got to get out of the doctrine of Satan, because there's got to be a love life with me. That's the other thing, is that love life. It's indispensable. We've got to get a place where we're so much in love with Jesus, but we cannot be in love with Jesus if there isn't, to love him, have a love life, you've got to have a perfect peace and relaxation inside and the confidence. And you can't have that when you're all torn up with the doctrine of Satan and fear and worry and disturbance. And this is the thing that God wants to break. And all it takes is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that scripture has to hit our heart. The revelation of this has to explode within us until we recognize we do not have to live under depression and fear and bondage, but we can be free. That's the whole message. That's the reason Christ came, is to set his people free. Now, I know we say amen. I know our hearts. I know our heads say yes. I know we say we want it, but we have to put into action. This is something that has to explode in such a revelation inside of us, and I'm praying that God will allow this word, this seed, to grow in your heart. And so every time you go to think anything, every time you go to have a problem with your wife or children or family or anybody or any battle or struggle or anything that comes upon you, you immediately check the passport of what comes out of the mouth or what's in the heart and see whether it's the doctrine of Satan or the doctrine of God. All of a sudden you're going to say something and say, hold it. Let me see that passport. See, that passport won't get you through the gate. That's the wrong one. You're in the wrong congregation. That's the doctrine of Satan. Don't speak that in this temple. This temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost, not the unholy ghost. The Holy Spirit is an unholy spirit. This is a Holy Spirit. Don't try to defile this temple with those words. What comes out of the mouth defiles a man, Jesus said. What comes out defiles him. I don't want this temple defiled. You get the wrong passport. Don't let those words come out. And when we get so that we're checking every single thing, we'll find after a while that we'll be only preaching the doctrine of God. And you'll find it extended with strength. You'll find it with praise. You'll find God's revelation. You'll find the healing. You'll find the miracles. You'll find the power. I believe it's locked up in that secret right there. I'm convinced of it. I don't know if you can see it yet or not, but I am absolutely sure of it. And I know this is what God is trying to bring to us. Somehow, let it into your heart. It's got to be more than hearing it. It's got to be action. Be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word, Scripture says. We've got to put this into action and watch it like a hawk. Set a double guard at our heart. Keep our heart. Let's watch one another. Let's check. Let's be watching very, very close. Let's do double guard duty here. And when we start putting this in action, in every single phrase you bring out, you'll begin to find that you'll talk different. When you talk different, that'll make you walk different. And when you talk different, you begin to find praises will begin coming from the mouth. You'll find joy, and it'll lead you to a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what God's trying to take us to right now. If you cannot have that perfect love relationship, and the doctrines of Satan are being promulgated all the time, it cannot be. A life of praise is a life of victory. And life of victory is a life of joy. If you can constantly praise the Lord, you will constantly have victory in your soul. Praise always allows the Holy Spirit to work. We talk about, and we've heard these terms for a long time, walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, if you're constantly praising the Lord, you're walking in the Spirit. Because the flesh, the things of the flesh, are looking about us at physical, mundane things. The things of the Spirit are looking to Him as the author and the finisher of our faith and our problem solver. And it does not look at circumstances. Faith looks beyond circumstances at God. Faith puts Christ between us and circumstances. And so if you're praising God, then you're praising His power, recognizing His power and His deliverance, and therefore you are walking in the Spirit because you're being led in the Spirit, because you're worshiping Him in Spirit, and that is walking in the Spirit. And you cannot fulfill the strong faith of the lower nature. You have no desire to, you have no heart to, because your mind is upon the Lord. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Now, faith brings the fountain of joy. Faith leads to joy. You don't have to even have a product to have joy. You know that? You can be looking forward to something, and you can be filled with such joy by the eye of faith and looking forward to it with tremendous anticipation that you don't even have to have a product to be happy. All you have to have is a faith. That's proof to you. That's your product right there. You can have the Holy Spirit in you in earnest of an inheritance to come. We don't have the inheritance to come yet. But we've got that earnest right down here. And by faith, we can see deliverance, and we can rejoice at what God will do. We can have lots of rejoicing in what God is going to do in the days ahead, although it's never come yet. Just by faith. Even before it comes, you can have the joy of it when it comes. You get it ahead of time. Faith gives you the joy ahead of time. Why, some ladies are who are in the family way, maybe 7 months along, they're going around the house, and they're humming, and they're singing, and they're crocheting these little tiny garments, you know, and they're happy. They don't have the baby to put it on. But they are looking ahead. They got the joy right now. They dressed that baby 50 times before it was born. They've had a lot of fun dressing that unborn baby. You know, you can live in the joy and glory of God right now while you're waiting for it to be. But in the experiential, while you're waiting for perfection, you can rejoice in the fact that God is moving you into perfection, doing something. But if you don't have the vision, you know what happens? Without a vision, the people perish, the Word of God says. You perish without a vision. That doesn't mean you're disintegrated. That means you've got to a place where you lose your spiritual well-being. Not loss of being, loss of well-being. You perish. You have a loss of being. Spiritual being, you come way down until you're just, you know, your jaw's in the gutter. You're just making it along, just going along, and you're just singing the song. You're not doing a thing for you, it's all of the mouth. It's a matter of the heart. But all when you play things from the heart, all this is like heaven to me. You know, that song had to come out of Pentecost. When you're dead and dry, you can't sing it. It's not like heaven at all. It's life like hell to you. But it's like heaven to you. That's the antithesis, you see. It's like heaven to you if you're walking in the glory. If you have a bit of heaven in your soul, then it's like heaven. If you get the devil's doctrine in your soul, then it's like hell. See? It's like the pit. It's like him. It's important that we understand this truth. We can have victory right in the middle of tribulation if you've got faith. Paul said, joy in tribulation. Well, that's a strange doctrine. How can anybody joy in tribulation? Well, you get the revelation, you'll understand how you can. You can joy in tribulation. You can have a tremendous joy going right through all kinds of problems if you're not looking at the problem, but the problem solver. And you're getting your joy ahead of time by faith. Now, I think that it's high time that we stop fretting and start praising God, don't you? Let's make praise the ruling principle of our life. Does that sound a good idea? Suppose you make it the ruling principle of your life. Praise. Instead of fault finding, make it praise to God. Praise is the password to blessing. Praise is a password to power. Praise is a password to peace. It's that which leads to blessing and power and peace. Let's look at a few scriptures. Acts 16:23. This is about Paul and Silas in prison. Let's see how what they did with this doctrine. See if they could put it into practice. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they had whips, and they laid many stripes across their back. And they knew how to whip in those days. Now, imagine yourself in this position. They've taken you out and flogged you good until the skin of your back was cut, and you're just stinging, your blood running down your back, and you're in terrible pain, you're all lacerated and cut, you know your back's never going to heal properly, without scars. Paul said, I bear the marks of Jesus in my body. Now what do you say? You preach the devil's doctrine and say, what went wrong? How come the Lord let me down? I was trusting him to deliver me from being whipped. I asked the Lord not to let it happen. I was trusting him and he didn't do it. He let me down. You can't trust God. Is that your reaction? That's the doctrine of Satan. Jesus already told you, he promised you tribulation. He promised you tribulation. And we're so positive that we're not going to have any tribulation. When he promises us tribulation, he said, I'll go with you through your tribulation. He did not keep Paul from tribulation. I shall show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, now you be the judge in the scripture whether he was faithful in his promise to go with him during tribulation. When they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, I want to tell you something. This was not King County Jail. There were no Life magazines and Post magazines and this type of thing to read. There were no sinks and laboratories there. There wasn't heat coming in through the radiators. And there wasn't cots with mattresses on them to lie on. And there wasn't hot food served at mealtime. This was a dungeon, and the Greek word, put your feet in the stocks, that Greek word for stocks means a long timber. It's that word, these long timber, with they used to put, they take a long timber and they'd put a hole, drill a hole here and a hole here, and they'd cut it in two and put a hinge at one end, and they would take your feet and spread it wide like this, and then they'd put it through these two holes that go this way, so you had to bend your leg this way. Then they put the top one on it and locked it at the other end. So your feet were this way, spread wide, and it chased the ankle right here at the corner where the wood was. They didn't, they had to put you way out there. Now, here they were in pain, with the ankles being chased and their back, you see, leaning against the wall, and their back just lacerated. Now, there was nothing to be joyful about in that hour, you can well imagine. There was nothing in the flesh to praise about. But it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Now, praise is God's doctrine. Praise said, thank you, Lord, that I'm worthy to be accounted to suffer for thy name's sake. Lord, you suffered, and your word says, is the servant greater than his master? Lord, I'm not greater than you. If you suffered, Lord, it's only right that I should suffer, because I am thy extension, I am thy hand. I am willing to take the marks of Jesus in thy body. The reason, Lord, that they're beating me so much is not because they're mad at Paul. I know how to be a decent person to them. I know how to get along. It's not that. It's because I'm preaching you and they hate you. They can't get at you excepting through me, because they know it's not me. They know it's you. And they're so mad at you, they're whipping me. So thank God that I can show you that much, that they can see it's you and not me. Lord, it's you they're whipping through me, and I'm willing to bear it. Thank you, Lord, that I'm worthy to count, becoming worthy to suffer for thy name's sake. Thank you, Lord, that through tribulation, thank you, Lord, that I can sing and rejoice when I'm healed in the body. Lord, my body is in pain, but oh, thank God, my heart has joy in thee. Thank you, Lord, these light afflictions worketh but for a moment in eternal weight of glory. And I have a crown laid up for me. I have eternal life. Those that put me in the prison do not have their feet in these stocks, but someday their soul shall be in the lake of fire and be tormented. But oh, thank God, I shall have everlasting life. I want to tell you something. If you're in trouble and pain, if you're in sorrow, think about this. All the sorrow and all the pain and all the heartache and all the losses and all the crosses you have to go through in this life, that's the only hell you'll ever get. And that's something to praise the Lord for. You're deserving of more than that. The wages of sin is death. You've earned eternal death. He came and took your place. You faced judgment. He put his robe of righteousness. It's something to thank God for when you're in misery, that this is all the hell you'll ever have, but those that cause you the misery will have a hell much worse. And there's always something to praise God for. Let the doctrine of God in. That's something we should be praising Him for from now to eternity. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 21. Let's see how praise moves the hand of God. And when he had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, is invaded by the Moabites. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, is invaded by the Moabites. And here we find they go out to battle, and these are the strangest soldiers you ever saw. He says, now I tell you what our strategy is going to be. I've got a good strategy. And he said, we need it. He said, all right, here it is. We're going to let singers go out before the Lord in the army. And you're going to praise the beauty of holiness. He said, yeah? Yeah. You go out and praise the beauty of holiness. Yeah, praise the beauty of holiness. And I want you to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. You want to say this as we go to battle. Yes. As you go to battle, you just say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's a strange way to fight. Well, let's see how it works. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When they began to praise, the hand of God began to move. Something to think about. Let's look at Joshua 6. Right after the book of Deuteronomy. Joshua 6, and verse 20. So the people shouted. Now they're coming against Jericho. Great walled city, they can't get in. Notice their strategy to get into that city. The walls are too high. So the people marched around the city, blew the trumpet, and shouted. When the people shouted, when the priest blew with a trumpet, and it came to pass, the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. But the people went in into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now I want to notice something. They shouted that wall down. They didn't wait till the wall fell down, then said, praise the Lord. They looked at an obstacle. They looked beyond the obstacle. They looked at the city already fallen, because God said so by the eye of faith, and they shouted, praise Yahweh. The wall went down. God just reached down and pushed the wall over. Because faith moves the hand of God. Because when they say, praise God, see, if you say, the walls are so high, we'll never make it, Satan says, you might as well go home then. It's the only reasonable, rational thing to do. See? And you say, I guess that's right. You're defeated. But when you say, well, how are you going to get through? And say, well, it's not how, it's who? Him. I don't know how. My general knows, though. I'm only a private. It isn't up to me to know. My job is just to do what he says. He's got the strategy board. He's the one who's working all this out. He just tells me to shout. I don't know what good is it do. What difference does it make? He knows what he's doing. All you have to do is have confidence in your general, that's all. Well, all the privates are always mumbling around, well, how come they're having us do this? This is a crazy way to fight a war. How come they're having us do this and do this? You know, that happens in armies all the time. They're out there always winning. Now what happened? We just got this bridge. Now he's telling us to leave it alone. How come he's doing that? Well, what you don't know, soldiers, is behind the line, you find out behind the lines, they get information on the big board that the spotter airplanes, you've taken it, there's a great enormous tank division coming in. And you cross that bridge, you won't be able to hold it. Sure, we had you take the bridge. But now they've come out of camouflage, and so now we want you to pull back so we can shell the bridge so they won't cross over and defeat the army. But I don't have time to tell every one of you privates all of this. All we can do to keep the commands going. So, you've taken it, now fall back. And they all call back grumbling. We had lost all this men to take the bridge, and now they say go on back. What good does it do to take a bridge if you're not going to take the bridge, see? Trying to figure it out themselves without the information. That's the way a lot of Christians are. Always think, how come this, and how come that, and this doesn't seem to be the way, and how come? And God says, quit your mumbling, just do the job. I've got the wisdom. I'm setting the strategy. The battle is not ours, but the Lord's, the Scripture says. And as soon as we recognize that and have trust in Him, we just do it because He says so. And we find out it accomplishes things, too. People, visitors come in and say, well, my, you seem to be awful noisy, and you're all raising your hands and praising the Lord. This is a strange way to have a service. Well, all I can say is that the Lord said that the things of the Lord are foolishness to the natural man. I mean, you must be a natural man, that's all. We're just spiritual men. It looks different when you're in the spirit than when you're in the natural. In fact, that sometimes we get all the spirits a little bit, and we look at it and say, my, that was strange. Sure, it seems strange. We admit it seems strange. But we don't care how strange it seems. We're looking for results. We find out it works. We get healings. We get miracles. We get people delivered. We find out it works. God said, lift holy hands in the Lord. Why should I lift the hands in the Lord? I don't know, but it works. That's all I care. I don't have to know the reasons for everything. I just know it works. If it works, it's a good doctrine. You know the devil hates praise? Oh, he hates praise. You know why he hates praise? Because he can't use it against you. Because, you see, if you come out and try to say something about what you're going to do, he can contest you on it. Well, you didn't last time. See? You didn't last time. Well, this time, well, yeah, but you always failed before. What makes you think you're going to do it this time? See? Anytime you deal with yourself or problems, he can always contest you. But when you start talking about how wonderful and great God is, he got nothing to contest you on. That's true. He knows it, and you're not even looking at yourself. You're looking at him. And you can stand there, and he can say to you, but you couldn't possibly do that. You're unholy. And you can turn the doctrine of God and say, what's that got to do with it? He's holy. He's my righteousness. He's my power. Praise you, Jesus. You have all power. You have all rights. You're the one who's going to take care of everything. He just can't do a thing about it. He can't twist it. There's nothing he can do. He cannot claim he isn't high and beautiful and wonderful. God's never let anybody down. He's never broken a promise. God is true. God has got all power, and he knows it. There's nothing he can do about it. When you praise God, Satan can't use it. It's all true. It's the glory of God. Praise is a sure cure for grumbling. If you're always complaining and grumbling, if something's always wrong, start praising the Lord, and you'll be surprised how that'll cure your grumbling all the time. And some people, always negative. Something's always wrong. The glass is always half empty. It's never half full. It's half empty, see? And there's always a problem, see? The streets are crowded. You can hardly get there. He's not praising the Lord that there is a street at all to get there on, see? Okay? His foot's sore. He's not praising the Lord. He's got a foot. Some people don't have a feet, see? Thank the Lord you've got a throat to get sore, see? There's always something to praise the Lord for. Well, the service was too long. Well, thank God you've got a service. Someday you don't have a service, you'll give anything to have a service, no matter what the length was. But the pews get hard. Yeah, but back in ancient Israel, they stood in the sun for 4 hours. Care to trade? But I didn't feel the glory of the Lord quite as much as I wanted to this morning. Yeah, but you're in the spirit of grace. You can come right into God and say, Abba Father. You can come right into His presence. They couldn't. They had to stand outside the veil. You'll trade? Well, I went through a little battle the other day. Yeah, but you're at least a Christian. You came out the other end a Christian. They're not even Christians. They're going to hell. Isn't it worth something? I think if we start praising the Lord instead of grumbling, we'll find out that things go a lot better for us. You'll have the victory, and you can walk and sing day by day. You see, praise is a sure cure for grumbling. It wears out the self-life. You want to get rid of it? Well, let praise begin to wear it out. You're tired trying to push it under? Get the old grindstone of praise up there and just burn the old self-life right out. The devil comes to you and he says, pity thy poor self. Oh, pity thy poor self. Everybody's against you. Nobody understands for you. See? That's what the devil does. We claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. The devil's got no power over the children of God. We defeat the devil in all his works. We shall trample on scorpions. He's got no power over the saints of God. Victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's all power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We defeat the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's all right. Now, listen, I'll tell you something. Whenever you begin to move with God, there was a day when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, the scripture says, and Satan came along also. Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord, and Satan came along also. People say, well, you know, you have these manifestations in your service. I know. That's because God's there and the devil doesn't like it, and he comes too. Whenever you begin to have services where people are moving for God and God's power is there, you're going to find demons contesting it. But God will deliver. You have your choice. You have your choice. Whenever you've got fire, you'll get smoke. Well, if you don't want any fire, you want any smoke, you won't get any fire either. You won't get any smoke without fire. Whenever you get the power of God, Satan will come along. But in this battle, we always defeat the enemy through Jesus Christ our Lord. The devil comes. He doesn't like this thing, you know. The devil comes. He says, pity thy poor soul. Oh, everybody's against. Nobody understands poor little you. I mean, after all, you know, you've done your best, and everybody, nobody appreciates it. I mean, after all, you've struggled so hard, you see. He wants to get you in the self of self-pity. And God says, forget yourself. You're only a slave, remember? Slave doesn't have any will. I'm the master. You only live for me. So quit pitying your poor self. Get up on your feet, you slave, and do what I tell you to do. You're supposed to be living for me. You don't have any will of your own. What are you looking for your own self for? But God didn't want us to pity ourselves. After all, we have already said, Lord, I'm your love slave. I have accepted you as the master and Lord of my life. He said, well, if I call you me Lord, obey not my commandments. If I'm Lord, I'm the king, and if you're the slave, then you only live for me, don't you? But then why are you pitying your poor self? Live for me. Your rejoicing comes because you're satisfying me. Your rejoicing comes because my heart is happy. You know, if we'll get to a place where we quit being gimme Christians, gimme, 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 everything is always for me. Now, God wants to empty out of his hands abundantly upon you. The devil has two strategies he pulls. He comes to one side, the person, and he says, oh, don't be bothering the Lord with all your requests. I mean, the Lord's got enough to do without your little tiny problems. Don't be bothering the Lord. But, you know, and non-spiritual people particularly are susceptible to this. And now don't be always worrying the Lord over little things. Do it yourself. I mean, after all, he's busy. That's belittling the Almighty God. God is never busy. God can do everything at once. It's easy to do one thing. He has all power. He's not a bit limited. He loves you. He got every hair of your head number, the scripture says. He keeps a running tabulation every second of every hair of every head. And there's no problem with God at all. After all, he flung all the stars out in space and keeps them in motion. He's no problem. He has those suns out there burning with 1,000,000 degrees Fahrenheit plus in the center. That's no problem to God. He has all those great power moving things. God knows every little thing, every big thing. So that's one lie. But then the other lie, of course, on the other side, is to make everything just gimme. God has become our hot water bottle, see. He's our spiritual aspirin. You see, he's our Santa Claus. Just gimme, gimme, just so everything for me. God didn't create us just to load things on us. He created us to love and serve him. Follow him. Be ye followers of me. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. He's called us in a way of self-denial to follow him. Not to appeasement, not for works, but just to quit thinking about ourselves and realize that we're servants and to follow the Master out of love for the Master. And if you love him, you want him to be glorified. And you do that, you're on your way in the doctrine of God. Well, I better close this thing down here. So, the reminder of who we are and who God is will pave the way to praise when things go against us. Let's look at Philippians 4:4 real quick. I'm going to have to move a little faster, so you either keep up with me or just listen when I hunt for these scriptures now. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. May I suggest that that is a commandment? He didn't say, now, you might consider rejoicing. I have a suggestion for you. It does work. I don't know what he said. He said, rejoice in the Lord. He just tells you. He knows it'll benefit you. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord, he said. See? He said, well, how can I rejoice? I didn't say rejoice in you or your problems. Rejoice in the Lord. He's above your problems. Now, that means surrender. You cannot rejoice in the Lord unless you are dying to self and have surrendered the desire for yourself. You say, well, I'm sick. How can I? I got problems. Things aren't going right. Well, you rejoice because you say, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm only here to please you. And I am going to please you, and therefore I'm rejoicing in you because I'm working and your court is becoming beautiful and everything is beautiful for you, and you're worthy of all praise, and I thank the Lord that I know you and I'm in your family and I'm only your servant. So what I feel like is beside the point. It's all you. I'm not even interested in what happens to me. It's what happens to you that I'm concerned about. Then you can rejoice. That's the importance of learning to die to self, because if we don't die to self, then we're interested in self, then we can't rejoice in all these problems because self is so important. It's only when self becomes unimportant and God becomes important that we therefore can follow these commandments. You see, some people try to follow these commandments without following the other commandments that are prerequisites, and they never can do it and never even understand it because they don't take care of the first step, and they try to take care of the second and third step without taking care of the first step, and you can't do it. You can't do it. Luke 24:52. These are the last words that Luke closed his epistle with, his gospel with. I want you to notice. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass what he blessed them, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So let it be. Continually in the temple, praising God, worshiping him. And when they got the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Hebrews 13, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. See, he suffered for us. Let us go up without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, we don't live for here. See? We don't live for here. We're seeking a continuing city. Just hold your finger in that place a minute. We'll look at Philippians 3:3. And Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." See, our confidence is not in the flesh. It's in Jesus, and we rejoice in Jesus. No confidence. We've died to self. Our confidence is not in the self. It's in Him. Now, we find here in Hebrews that he asked us to make a sacrifice of praise. You say, "I don't feel like it." Well, that's right. It's going to be a sacrifice to you because you don't feel like it. It's going to cost you something to do it. You're tired. But he wants you to make a sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice or not? You'll find out how much love you have for the Lord if I'm asking you to sacrifice. Now, are you going to sacrifice and praise me or not? "I don't feel like it." He said, "I know that." That's why it's a sacrifice. If you felt like it, wouldn't be a sacrifice, would it? Some people only praise God when they feel like it. Well, then you make no sacrifices. That's what you want to do. That's not a sacrifice. You feel like doing something. Sacrifice is when you would rather not, when it costs you something. So that's a sacrifice. Now, you want to sacrifice, and then praise the Lord, if you feel like it or not. Because He's worthy, whether you feel like it or not. Now, if you don't feel good, and you don't like your feelings, you don't like not feeling good, change them by praise. Your feelings are changed when you've been praising the Lord. You know what lack of praise is? Ingratitude. An ingratitude to God. You don't praise Him, that means you are not in appreciation like you should be, because if you were, you'd praise Him. It means that we would be lacking dedication. We would be lacking dying to self. Because if we died to self and only looked Him and were dedicated to Him, we would praise Him. And if we don't die to self, then we have not obeyed His commandments, and therefore we have sinned. That's what we call a sin of omission. Sin by not doing what He told us to do. One time when I was a boy, my father said, "Get the razor strap." And I always knew he wasn't going to shave when he asked me to get the razor strap. And I said, "Why, I haven't done anything." And he says, "I'm not whipping you for doing something. I'm whipping you for not doing something. I asked you to do something. You didn't do it." Sometimes we say, "Well, I haven't done anything." And the Lord says, "Well, I told you to do something." That's the problem. You haven't done anything. You admit it. You ought to do something. And you haven't done it. It isn't always don't commit adultery, don't do this, don't lie. It's to do something, to praise Him. To offer the sacrifices He asked you to. Did you do it? Then you deserve a whipping. "But I didn't do anything." I know it. I asked you to praise Him. You didn't do anything. It's a commandment. Psalms 107:15. I'm going to go even faster, so keep with me now. Here we go. Listen carefully. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You know, four times in the psalm, that same verse is repeated exactly. Exactly. God says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." That's important. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Keep your point with your Bible flipping back and forth here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Some people say, "You know, I'm trying to find the will of God for my life." Here it is. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you." Now you know what the will of God is. Aren't you glad? You've been looking for the will of God all this time. Now you've got it. "In everything, praise Him." You'll find out you've got more minutes than you know what to do with. Praise not only changes our path, but praise changes us while we're walking on the path. The more you praise, the more it changes you. It'll do a work in your heart. If you're trying to be different, well, start praising the Lord. There was a story of a of a man of God, spiritual man of God named Brother Wendell. And one day he felt led of the Lord to go down the coast in Oregon, and there was a young preacher and his wife down there in the ministry just starting out, and he felt led of God to take him some food. So he loaded himself up with a big huge box of groceries, and he went down and went to the door, and they hadn't said anything, but just the Lord had told them. He had the big box of groceries, and he left the door, and he listened. He could hear him praying inside the door, and he leaned a minute against the door, and he could listen to him praying. And they were saying, "Lord, now you know we don't have any food. you promised to supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory." So that's the doctrine of God. And God says, "Before they speak, yet will I answer." So he knocked at the door, and they came to the door, and it was a big box of groceries. And he came and he set him down. And they were talking, and she and the wife began to go by around getting things. And instead of humming and singing like normally, he said, "No, so he should be walking along," and she'd pass the big refrigerator, and she can't go into a damp, and she'd go by it, you know, and she says, why is it that every time you pass that refrigerator, you seem like you're frown a little bit or something? He said, "It seems like..." She said, "Well, I guess that thing's been empty for so long. But having that pass it, it's kind of a reminder that, And he said to her, I feel that what the Lord wants you to do," he said, "every time you pass that refrigerator, you praise the Lord. And you say, 'Hallelujah, praise the Lord,' every time you pass that refrigerator." Well, that seemed kind of strange. But she did respect him as a man of God and knew that he was really getting results and he was led of the Spirit and things were happening in his ministry. So he's God's really using him, so I guess I will. So he began to, every time she passed a refrigerator, she would say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," and she began to praise the Lord. And every time she'd been doing this. About 4 days later, he decided to drop by and see how things were going. So he dropped by and see how they were going. And he, what happened? She said, "Well, I'll tell you, every time I," he said, "oh," he told her, he said, "I think if you will praise the Lord, every time you pass the refrigerator, the Lord will fill it up for you." That's what he told her. Well, that's, I mean, we do realize how the meal bill was full back in Elisha's day, but, So he asked her what happened. He said, "Did the Lord fill it up?" She said, "Well, what happened is," "yes, he filled it up. What happened is I kept praising the Lord as I passed by, and God moved on the heart of an unsaved man in this town, and he'd been bringing me frozen foods and all kinds of foods. He'd keep my refrigerator stocked all the time." Praising the Lord, and God says, "All right, if you're going to trust me, just for that, I'll do the work. You start going over that woman's house, and you start giving him food." The compulsion became so strong in him, he just had to knock at the door and apologize and bring the food. Faith moves the hand of God. Whenever you exercise faith, and that's praise in action, bring the praise him, he says, "Well, all right, you're believing in me. And I always back up belief." You see? There have been many accounts of the people getting healed and people getting jobs and so forth because they praised God. I've read many accounts. Person went time after time with this fact and couldn't get a job. And one day he finally stood outside the gate and said, "Lord, I'm going to just praise you." And he praised and praised and praised. The Lord walked in and said, "Do you have a job?" And the phone rang. He said, "Just a minute." Charlie said, "Yeah, I have a need for you. Can you get a work today?" "Thank you, Lord." And there have been many, many accounts of that. I want to tell you something. The reason is because praise builds faith and God honors faith. Let me tell you what it's not, lest you might get out from the ditch. Praise is not magic works to get something. You cannot come and say, "Oh, well, I'm going to get what I want now. I got the secret. I got magic words here, you know. Let's see now. Yes, I remember the magic formula. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless thy holy name, and forget not all of his holy benefits." Not come yet. "Praise the Lord, all my soul." See? It's not magic words to get something. Praising, you cannot trick God on praising. Because praising is not lips, it's from the heart. Praising is that which comes from the heart to adore him. And as you get your heart and mind and begin loving him, enjoying him, and praising him, faith will begin to rise, and then God will honor it. You can't play games. I don't believe in these special blessing packets where you do things to get blessing. I don't believe in them. I believe you do things out of your heart, and then God honors what comes from the heart. And I know I'm late, but I want to tell you the scripture. I'm going to be real quick. I've got to read a couple of scriptures here to close on. Faith moves God's hand. All right, here we go. I'm going to read three scriptures and quit. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29:2. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now, that's Psalm 50:23. Now, how often should we praise the Lord?